Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jake.
Welcome back. I hope you had a good vacation.
We did. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, so the Twins yesterday went for the sweep of the Rays. They came up short, lost a game 7-5 in 10 innings. Still a pretty good weekend. They won 2 out of 3. Your thoughts on the Twins?
Yeah, good weekend. They really had a chance to do some special things, sweep a very good team in the Rays, get the tiebreaker on the Rays, continue to hang in there in the wild card race, get a sweep at home. I mean, there are a lot of things on the table there. And really, game went south in two ways. They had some opportunities they did nothing with offensively. And then Griffin Jacks comes in, who's been excellent ever since kind of his slow start. And, you know, the ball just goes nowhere. They're just, one ball went under him as he tried to make a play off the mound. Another ball, the ball just went nowhere. And they get two runs out of it. And that's kind of where the game turned. Of course, anytime we're talking about one late inning mistake or two bloop hits beating you, it's usually because you didn't score enough runs. That's also the case. And then, of course, Topa came in and had a bad 10th, and that was the official end of the game. But I thought they had kind of had it all set up for another dramatic win, and then Jax gives up some softly hit balls. They end up losing mostly because of that.
Jim, when you look at where this Twins team is sitting, they're in second place in the division, but still, quite a bit behind in the wild card race. A lot of teams to overcome. 5 games back, that doesn't seem like a real big hurdle. What do you think? I mean, can this team get back in the wild card race here?
I mean, they're competing with a lot of teams like themselves. They're competing with a lot of teams that are capable of going on a run or capable of having a good month, but haven't played well overall to date. It's a race of the mediocre right now. I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over this season. If they get healthy, and if they get it going offensively, we've already seen that they can, they won 13 in a row without it being good offensively. When the pitching's good, they're going to win a lot of games. So Pablo's still a ways off. I think when they're close to full health, they can go on a run. And if you go on a run and you're just trying to pass a bunch of other teams that are hanging around or below 500, you can move up very quickly. But it's going to take a run, and I just don't know if the pitching's healthy enough for them to really to go on that kind of a run at the moment.
Is Ebby Mathews going to be available soon?
I would think post All-Star game.
How about Luke Kuechel? Any update on him?
I think post All-Star game. I just don't think these, they're not saying anything specifically, but I don't see them hurrying these guys back to then take 4 days off. It makes a lot more sense to make sure they're completely ready and have them, activated when it makes sense after the All-Star break. That's just a guess.
So they brought in Adams to pitch on the weekends. Is he going to stick in the rotation?
I would think not, but I really feel like that last rotation spot, Rocco's is going to be inventive and just try to get this team to the All-Star break using whoever he thinks can help them that day. You think you're going to see openers, you're going to have middle relievers pitching multiple innings, you're going to have people pitch one day, get sent down the next. I just think he's going to try to finagle some way through that spot in the rotation at the moment.
So Byron Buxton was named as an All-Star reserve for the American League. We talked about that. The 270 batting average this year, he's been staying healthy largely, 20 home runs, 53 RBIs, stolen 16 bases. That seemed like a no-brainer to be selected. Joe Ryan, Yoan Duran, were they considered?
Oh, sure they were considered. And Ryan's whip and his ERA put him in the ballpark of being very deserving. Duran was great for most of the first half, had a few lapses recently, but he's certainly good enough to be an All-Star. I think what hurt them is, three pitchers on the staff, at least three pitchers on the All-Star staff, are there because they were their teams, to represent their team. Angels, White Sox, and Red Sox all had pitchers make the team in part because they had to have somebody make the team. So I think that hurt the Twins. I think the fact the Twins are below 500, there's no real urgency to have a twin on the team just to have a twin on the team. The fact that Tigers dominated the roster hurt. you know, I think they're both borderline. I would have preferred, I would have thought Duran probably should have been ahead of Ryan. He's been, you know, he's been a dominant closer before. He's generally having a good year this year. And the way the All-Star game is played, you want guys coming in throwing gas for an inning at a time. So that's kind of the way I would have gone had there been another spot open.
So the year that Byron Buxton is having this year, this is seemingly the year we've been waiting for, right?
Yep. This is the best year since, whatever, 2017. And, you know, once again, what does it come down to? Comes down to health. And not just being healthy enough to play four times a week, but being healthy enough to be himself. He's been great in the field. He's been great on the bases. He's, you know, on a 30-plus home run pace. You know, he's been dangerous running the bases even when he's not stealing. He's been great. He's been fantastic. And, you know, you could argue that he's deserving of a starting spot the way he's played this year. So, yeah, it would just be a shame to waste this. They've been waiting so long to have him play like this. It would be a shame to waste it. One thing I would add to his arsenal, I would have him start stealing third base. Now, this is not a sit around, wait for somebody to hit a home run kind of team, unless Buxton's at the plate. So when Buxton's on the mound, when Buxton's on the bases, I would have him steal third base. You know, base stealers will tell you stealing third base is easier than stealing second base. Yeah, it's a slightly shorter throw from the catcher, but you can usually get a bigger lead and a bigger jump. With his speed, he could be walking into third base all day. And it puts pressure on the defense. If the catcher's trying to catch Byron Buxton, he might throw into left field. It frustrates the pitcher. It also, yes, you're already Byron's already said, hey, I'm already in scoring position in second base. Yes. But if you're on third base and you're Byron Buxton, an 8-foot pass ball can score you. So I would like to see him start doing that. I don't know that they will, but that would be my recommendation.
Jim, has the Twins changed their approach in regards to stolen bases? Because it seems like they've been near the bottom. They haven't tried a lot of stolen bases over the last couple of years.
Well, they really only have two guys you would want to see stealing bases. I mean, you can't steal bases just to steal bases. You have to have the personnel to do it. So, you know, when you steal bases at the rate Buxton does, which is close to, you know, 80 to 90 plus percent, of course you're going to steal the bases. Castro is, when he's healthy and feeling good, is a very good base stealer. But those are like the only two guys in the lineup you'd want to send, you know? So I would send those guys. You know, Castro seems to be dealing with some leg stuff, some hip stuff, whatever. So I think they're conserving him because of that. He's just one of their best players. They need him in the lineup. Buxton, I would just cut him loose.
So Royce Lewis has been back in a lineup for him, but he really hasn't turned the corner, too much. He's batting .212, so it's not terrible at this point. What do you think of what Royce is doing?
Just doesn't look the same. He's kind of feeling his way. It's kind of a fascinating and sad psychological study. We know what he looks like at his best. At his best, he's hitting long home runs to left field, and he's hitting the bar, and he's hitting line drives to center, right field. And, you know, that's because when he's at his best, he can sit on pitches he wants to drive, and when he gets one, he's gonna hit it a long way. And if the pitcher decides to stay away from him, or if it's a situation where he just needs a clutch single, or he's just trying to get on base, then he's very happy to hit line drives around the field. That's him at his best. Right now, it just looks like he's feeling for the ball. And we've seen him get a few hits here and there and say, oh, he's out of his slump. Not really. You'll know he's out of his slump when he's somebody you want to see batting third or fourth for this team, and he's just not there yet.
Jim, the Minnesota Lynx, they win yesterday 80-75 over the Chicago Sky to improve to 17-2. Your thoughts on the Lynx?
Undefeated at home this year. Angel Reese had a big game against them, but once again, Angel Reese plays on the losing side. She has not won many games since she got in the league. Courtney Williams, who is an all-star this year, 25 points, keeps moving up the ladder, all-time assists. Great game for her. Collier, just kind of an average to below average game for Collier, but still 20 points and very productive. She's on, I think she's made her last 45 free throws, something like that. This is clearly the best team in the WNBA. And now there's a chance Emma Meisman, who's looking around for a place to play in the WNBA after a few years playing in Europe, there's a chance the Lynx could land her. If they do, boy, then they're a super team, not just an overachieving team, but they'd be a super team.
Jim, so you know where this Lynx team is looking. I mean, you look at the standings. I mean, they're 17-2. Closest teams are Phoenix and the Liberty, both 12-6, and they're going to play Phoenix on Wednesday. Will that be a pretty big test for them?
Yes, but it'll be a bigger test for Phoenix. Listen, as you're intimating, the Lynx have now placed themselves atop the leaderboard and on everybody's sights. Now people are, the last year it felt like they snuck up on people. That ain't happening this year. They're just better than everybody. So it'll be a good test. Of course, when they have the lead they have, they could lose it and it wouldn't mean much. I still think the Liberty have a late season run to get ready for the playoffs in them. As we know, seedings don't mean a whole heck of a lot. I still think the Liberty are the greatest threat to the Lynx, and I still think that would be a tremendous series to see those teams play again. But so far as the regular season goes, the Lynx are just better.
It looks like the NBA Summer League starts for the Timberwolves on Thursday. They'll play the Pelicans Thursday afternoon. I guess if you're going to watch that, Joan Berenger, he's going to be playing in the games, right? He's in the roster?
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how he looks physically. This is every year, I think Timberwolves fans, and it's a good fan base, get excited about Summer League and watch it and look for, what it could mean. And it almost always ends up meaning nothing. So I would just take it as entertainment more than some kind of a true test. The better players are going to score 30 points and just do whatever they want out there. It's not NBA quality basketball. It's just something to do in the summer.
Well, it looks like this year they're doing, a Salt Lake Summer League and the California Summer League. That happened. It is still happening. There's still, it looks like games today and tomorrow. That's different this year, right?
Yes, and, the NBA is kind of taking the same tack that the NFL did when it really became a superpower, and that's just giving their fans things to watch and talk about, giving media content year-round. It doesn't have to be the most meaningful stuff, but people, NBA fans are very much into that league right now, and they should be. It's a great league. So, it's a good way to help players develop. It's a good way to keep fan bases engaged.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
Pretty much the full slide is up at talknorth.com. We'll start a new cycle today. Don Mitchell's show will interview Kat Perkins. That'll be a lot of fun. And everything's at talknorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim. Thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Ed.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at Suhan Strib. Check out his latest column in Star Tribune or his podcast at talknorth.com. Jim, today is brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Next on WJON, it's World of National News from ABC, followed by local news.